today on Living on Every Word.
How many of you are going through a fight in these days? In impossible situations that you have no control over, you can only cry out to God. It's His fight. When there's something going on and we are fighting and we're struggling, we think that it's all on us, but it's not, because it's not your fight. It's God's fight.
Life can be full of struggle and conflict. No matter what you're facing today, Pastor Mike Fritcher shares a principle from Scripture that should bring comfort and hope. In today's message, it's not your fight.
I want to ask you a question. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that the battle truly belongs to our great God and Savior Jesus Christ? Do we believe that today? You know, recently, I was in recent months, and you know, really recent years, there's been some struggles that my family faced. And we faced. And you know, just like all of us, I mean, we're in this world. This world has fallen. Sometimes things get hard and tough and uncertain. And the enemy does seem to press in so much. And recently I was, we were struggling with something, and it was a struggle. And I came over to the foyer here. It was 8:30. It was early September. I think it was like the 2nd of September. And so I came on over and just was struggling. And if you know me, and if you get to know me, you know that kind of a warrior, and I'm a worrywart, and I think about things, and I assume things and jump to conclusions and assumptions. Y'all ever do that? Yeah, we all do that, don't we, to some extent. You know, these are hard times. Tough. And it was about 8:30. And I have a friend. He's kind of a new friend, and he lives in Ohio. And I just text him, and I said, "Hey, man, I'm just kind of struggling right now. I'm going through some prayer. You got a word for me?" I'm kind of waiting for that word, you know, because you know how sometimes when you need advice or counsel or just somebody just to encourage. And so anyway, I started, and I've been doing this lately in my quiet time. I just call it kind of a listening post, you know, and I just sit down and at that point not open my Bible. And I just say, "God, I want to hear you. I want to hear what you're saying." And usually when I ask God that, it's always scripture. I mean, there's always something that comes along. And 53 minutes into it, I just felt like God say, "You do not have to keep fighting in this battle. This battle is not yours. The battle belongs to me. The battle belongs to the Lord." And so I had this really great peace just come over me, because that's what the Word of God does. The Word of God washes. The Word of God sanctifies. The Word of God rejoices the heart, right? It makes wise the simple. The Word of God does powerful things for us, and it did a powerful thing for me. And, you know, I went through the day, and about 2:30, I got a call from my friend, and I couldn't answer it, and so he left the message. And this is what he said: "Mike, this is not your fight. It's God's fight. In impossible situations that you have no control over, you can only cry out to God. It's His fight." Now, I want to ask the question, and just want to be really, really honest here. How many of you are going through a fight in these days? Yeah, look, we're not alone, are we? Battle. And I want to just say this to you, and I'm going to say it probably a number of times today. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. It's God's fight. I mean, there are a lot of things in life that we worry and wart over that have nothing really to do with us. And we know those things. Gosh, that's not my fight. But then when it gets personal, when there's something going on that's really struggling, and we are fighting, and we are just hurting over this, and we're struggling, we think that it's all on us, but it's not, because it's not your fight. Whatever you were thinking of when you raised your hand, and whatever that situation is, and whatever you're thinking in this moment, I just want to say it again: it's not your fight. It's God's battle. It's His. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I hope you'll turn there right now with me. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, I want to ask that you do something in light of the struggle or the thing that is uncertain or the adversity or the trial or anything in your life that's taking place, that's going on. I want you to look at those through the lens of this passage today. And I want to give you just a couple of things from the passage as we go through the whole passage. Chapter 20, verse 1. It came about after this that the sons of Moab and the sons of Ammon, together with the sons of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and reported to Jehoshaphat, saying, "A great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, out of Aram. And behold, they are in En-Gedi." And Jehoshaphat was afraid and turned his attention to seek the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And so Judah gathered together to seek help from the Lord, for they even came from all the cities of Judah. First principle, adversity always will appear. Always. You do have tribulation in this world. And adversity appears. Adversity appears in the life of Judah, in the life of his people. Adversity comes. Trial comes. Struggle comes. As long as there is sin and darkness, adversity will come. For you and me, as believers in Christ, our adversity appears in trials, in difficulties. It appears in diagnoses that does not look well, that does not look good. It comes sometimes from persecution. It also comes from just the things that are uncertain in our lives. Adversity comes. But a lot of times it comes through just plain old temptation from the enemy. Temptation to lust, to fear, to walk in bitterness and anger, to do things your way and not God's way. I mean, it's adversity. The scripture says that we have an enemy, and that enemy is Satan, and that enemy are his angels. We have an enemy, it's called sin. John 10:10 says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy. 1 Peter 5:8 says it's the roaring lion that's prowling around to devour you. In Matthew 4:3, we see the tempter coming to entice Jesus, and make no bones about it, the tempter comes to you to entice you. Appeals to your flesh, to your weaknesses, to the things in your life that cause trouble. You know, that's what the enemy does. He doesn't come to places in your life that you don't have a problem with. He knows exactly where he's coming to. He knows exactly where to attack you. He's the tempter. Now, you know, the very situations that you find yourself in are the very things that the enemy uses to tempt you, right? Anger, fear, worry, anxiety, stress, all those other things, right? You have an enemy that wants to distract you from the things of God, from the glory of God. He wants to distract you so much that your life is no longer a light that points to the glory of God. He wants you so struggling. He wants you so in the midst of it. And I just want to say, you know what? It's not your fight. That thing is not your fight. It is God's fight. It doesn't mean that we don't wrestle. And it doesn't mean that we take up armor for our God, but it's not your fight, it's God's fight. Get that in your mind. Get it in your mind and say it and speak it. This temptation, this fear to worry, this thing to angst, this thing that I don't know how it's going to turn out, I can just say with confidence, it's not my fight. It's God's fight. It's God's. These three nations are coming against Judah. They are afraid. This king, this leader, stands up and seeks the Lord. He turns his face, he turns his attention to seek God first. But this man stands up and he leads these folks to pray, to seek God, and to fast. And that's what he does. He calls this fast when adversity appears. And the second thing that he does is he cries out for God. And that's the thing that we must do. We must cry out for my God and my Savior to appear. Adversity appears. Well, guess what? Jesus comes to appear. And he comes to appear with a word. And he comes to appear with direction. The direction that you're seeking. Notice verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. And he said, "O Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hand, so that no one can stand against you." First thing he does is he exalts the Lord. He exalts him. He praises him. That's what he does. The moment that adversity comes, the moment that uncertainty comes, default to seeking him. And we seek him by exalting him, by praising him, by blessing him. We've talked about this through this year of saying, listen, when things come my way, I'm going to thank God for them. I'm going to thank God in the midst of them. That's going to be what I'm going to be defaulting to. And I know sometimes it doesn't make sense to thank God for things. But 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you." I don't understand that. But do you notice that's what they're doing? They're exalting their God. They're praising their God. He is leading them to praise in the midst. That's the first thing that he does. He exalts. The second thing that he does is he appeals to God's word and to God's promises and to God's nature concerning his relationship with his people. And I want you to notice the prayer. "Did you not, O God, our God, drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel to give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? They've lived in it. They've built you a sanctuary there for your name, saying, should evil come upon us, the sword or judgment or pestilence or famine, we will stand before this house and before you and cry to you in our distress, and you, watch, will hear and deliver us." Lord, this is what you say to do. This is what you've instructed us to do, and we're going to do this, and we're doing this. And you said that if we do these things, that you will hear and deliver us. He appeals to the promises of God, and we rely on him for those promises. And that's what Jehoshaphat is doing. Verse 10, "Behold, the sons of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom you did not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt. See how they are rewarding us by coming to drive us out from your possession, which you have given us as an inheritance. And, oh, our God, will you not judge them? For we are powerless before this great multitude who are coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are on you." They exalt the Lord, they appeal to his promises, and then they humble themselves. Lord, we're defenseless. There's nothing we can do in this. Absolutely nothing. I can't do anything. This is an impossible situation. My giftedness, my strength, 10 people's strength, 10 women, men, all that strength cannot meet this need because it's an utter impossibility. We serve a God that does what? He meets the impossibilities. He meets them for you, with you, in you. You joining him. God, we don't know what to do, but God, our eyes are on you. We are waiting for our Savior to appear. In this adversity, we exalt you, we appeal to you, and we humble ourselves. We are waiting for our Savior to appear. An impossible, impossible situation is brewing. This storm is coming. And they're coming, and there are three nations, three armies, coming to destroy God's inheritance, to push them out of the land that God had promised. And I want to tell you this, that's what the enemy wants to do today. He wants to push you out of the figurative land of plenty, of abundance, of the fruit of the Spirit that you are to walk in, that we are to walk in Christ. He wants to push you out and destroy you and your family. And sometimes it is so hard and so difficult to keep our eyes on him. But I promise you, when you humble yourself and you say, there's nothing that I can do, that God comes along, gives you the grace to face any impossibility and any adversity. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. It's God's fight. And I want to trust him. I want to trust that Jesus appears. And he appears to take away my sin. And he appears to destroy the works of the devil. You know, when I think about the works of the devil, and you think about the things that give us angst and give us worry and give us fear, that's what Jesus appears. So he tells, and listen to me also, it's not that that situation might change for your, that you think that ought to change. You may have to go through it for a while. The difference is that you are trusting and relying and saying, it's not my fight, it's his. Situation may not change, but guess what? You change. And the peace of God comes. Let me ask you, what impossibility that's going on in your life right now that you need to appeal to God? And it may not even be an impossibility. It may be just something that you're just having to face all the time. But it's just, you just get weary with it. You just get tired of it. How many of you are educators? Ever have an unruly student? that just gives you angst? Have you ever had an unruly parent give you angst? Think about that for a minute. And you know the parent's coming. Parent's coming. And that parent has a reputation because fourth grade, third grade, second and first grade teacher said it. And there's angst. Listen, it's not your fight. It's God's fight. Financial difficulty today. You don't have a job, struggling. It's not your fight. You're having a struggle in your marriage. And it's hard, and it hurts. But it's not your fight. It's God's fight. It's God's fight. It is not your fight. Release it. Release it. And that's what's happening, going to happen here. That is what's going to happen in this passage. Notice, go back to 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 14. They're standing. Adversity has appeared. They're crying out for God and their Savior to appear. And they do that by exalting the Lord and appealing to His promises and humbling themselves. They're confessing reliance on God and not themselves. They've not gathered their armies. They've not called for the armies of the living God. They've not called for sword bearers. They're not calling for chariots. They're not calling for any of those things. They're calling for God. God. In the midst of the assembly, verse 14, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, the Levite, the sons of Asaph. He stands up. He says, listen, all Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem and King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. Whatever you're going through right now, it's not your fight. It's not your fight. Please listen. If you think it's your fight, you're gonna take weapons that are not of God. They're of the flesh. They're carnal. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. Hard time with the child. Child having a hard time with their child. Hard time with adversity. It's not y'all's fight. It's God's fight. And we're going to see in a minute, it doesn't mean that you just stand there and do nothing. There is a way that we work. It is not your fight. It is God's fight, church. Whatever we struggle with as a body, it is not our fight, it's God's fight. Whatever you're struggling with, you're a part of this body. And when you hurt, we hurt. When you suffer, we suffer. When you rejoice, we rejoice. And I want to say, it's not your fight. It is not your fight. It's God's fight. It's God's battle. And this is what he says. You're not going to have to fight in this battle. You just go tomorrow down. You go down against them. Behold, they're going to come up by the ascent of Ziz. And you will find them at the end of the valley in the front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You don't have to fight in this battle. Just station yourselves and stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out to face them, for the Lord is with you. They're still going to go out. They're still going to face him. But they're going to watch the victory of God this time. They're not going to draw a sword. They're going to watch God work. And he's going to work in a mighty, mighty way. So the word comes in verses 14 through 70 that we just read. And we say it's not your fight, it's God's battle. The question is when the word comes, will we follow that word? Will we trust and will we obey? Will we trust and will we obey? Now, all they're supposed to do this time in this battle is to go and to look. And in verse 18, Jehoshaphat, he bows his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, they fell down before the Lord, and they worshipped him. And the Levites from the sons of the Kohathites and the sons of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a very loud voice. Hey, they're excited. They're pumped. They got a word from God. The word appeared. And they're going to trust what God has said to them. They're going to trust and believe. And they're going to do exactly what God's asking them to do. Do you know that in your situation, whatever that is, relational, financial, emotional, there are principles in God's Word that speak to those kinds of things that God wants to reveal to you, that God wants to open up to you. And it may be something that you've read years ago, or it may be something that you need to be finding today in Scripture, or in your study tonight with Scripture. And that's what God would have us do. Seek His face. Always. Always. Are you seeking that today? Are you willing to trust, and are you willing to obey? It's not your fight. It's not your fight. And it's amazing to me what we make our fight. It's amazing to me. When I talk to folks, when I see folks, and I see them struggling, and they may be out of church, and they may be away for a long, long time. I've heard people say, I'm fed up with church because all those hypocrites. I'm full through with God. And I want to say, and I have said, do you mean you've allowed your upset over hypocrisy to keep you from God? You've allowed somebody else's sin that maybe you don't even know keep you from God? It's who we're supposed to run to when we're struggling and hurting. It's who we're supposed to run to. You mean to tell me that you're going to let somebody else who might have done something to you or said something and maybe didn't even mean it that way and live 10 years in anger and bitterness? You mean you're going to allow yourself and your relationship with God to be so separated because of that? Don't. The battle is not yours. This is not your fight. This is God's fight. And He's inviting you to be a part of the battle. He is. We need to understand what the war's about. If it's not my fight, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 10. Believe that's right. Or 6, I'm sorry. 10 through 13. Let me just tell you what it says. Our struggle is not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual struggle. So if you're fighting with somebody, it really isn't your fight. If you're fighting in your marriage, fussing, warring, hurting, struggling, that's not your fight. If you're struggling about something going on in your life, it's not your fight. Listen, this is the struggle. He says it's not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, the world forces of darkness in the heavenly places. It's a heavenly fight. So we've got to know that. It's not my fight. I also need to understand what my weapons are, because my weapons are mighty in God for the tearing down of strongholds. Look at on the screen, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Your weapon for being hurt is not anger. Anger does not achieve the righteousness of God. Your weapon is divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We say, what are those weapons? Well, in that next passage, the Bible says that our weapons, in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17, says that our weapons are a couple of things. They're the belt of truth, so it's truth. The shoes of peace, so peace. The breastplate of righteousness, that's righteousness, right? The helmet of salvation, salvation. The shield of faith, right? So I have peace, that's a weapon. The peace of God's a weapon. The Prince of Peace comes to destroy the Prince of Thieves, right? Who robs you, kills you, steals from you. So I've got peace. I've got the righteousness of Christ. It's the breastplate of righteousness. I am righteous in Christ. That's what the Bible says. If you're in Christ, you have His righteousness. The belt of truth. Bible says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Bible says, sanctify the truth. Thy word is truth. So you have truth. You have the helmet of salvation. And that helmet is not just a ticket punch helmet. It's where grace is always, always alive in your life. Because salvation and deliverance is delivering you from what you were and bringing you to what you will be. And it didn't stop when you were 8 when you prayed a prayer. You've got this helmet of salvation on you. It's the authority of God in your life. And then you have the shield of faith. You know what I love about stationing yourselves and standing there and watching? It's all those things at work. It's all those things at work. Faith, what does faith do? It extinguishes the darts of the enemy, right? The breastplate of righteousness, it protects my heart from going places my heart doesn't need to go. The helmet of salvation protects my mind from going to places that I don't need to go. The girdle of truth lets me run with such great, run the race and to run to the battle or even to run the way God wants me to run. Shoes of peace. Wow. Did you know it's under Jesus' shoes that he destroys the work of the devil under his feet? Peace. And yeah, you got your sword, the sword of the Lord. And you know what? You know that word. And sometimes those defensive postures are so powerful, you didn't even have to pull out your sword. He just ran. Station yourselves and stand and see the salvation of the Lord. It's not your fight. It's not your fight. I want to ask the question, what is it that you brought to this place today that you have been moving with all your strength and not the strength of the Lord? You've not been relying on God. You've not been trusting Him. You've been hurting. You've been struggling. Why is that? Maybe it's because you haven't come to the place that says, it's not my fight. It's God's fight. And today, this moment, I want to ask, do you need to make a faith statement today before God and welcome the word that says, it's not my fight, it's God's? When I sat in the foyer on September 2nd at about 9:23, and God said, it's not your battle, you don't have to fight in it, that the load got off me. I'm not telling you that I tried to get back on since then, but it was off. And there was peace and there was life. Oh, there were decisions, because there's always decisions to make. It's your responsibility. That's what freedom's about. Freedom is your responsibility to walk in it. But the burden was gone. Off. It's able to breathe easy. It was like in a moment of having asthma and then finally getting a breath and then all of a sudden, bam, you've got breath again. Oh, God. Thank you. It's not my fight. It's your problem, not mine. I'm going to listen. I'm going to be there. I'm going to ask. I'm going to do the things you asked me to do. And even if it means just coming and exalting you and praising you, first and foremost, that's what I'm going to do. So church, where are you? What I'm going to ask you to do, if you need to make a statement of faith, and most of the time it's just for you. It's not for anybody else. You saying today, man, I need to hear this. There's some things that I've been carrying. I don't need to be carrying because it's not my fight. I'm going to believe that. I'm going to ask you to come and might start doing that right now. Just get to this altar and make it a place that says, God, it's your fight, not mine. It's not yours, mine. That's really all this invitation is about. It's moving from your fight to His fight and saying it and speaking it. And that's the invitation today.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com. Living on